last Sunday. I told you we just used last Sunday as what I call a check-in Sunday, as we are making a turn in this series that we're in. A turn from where we've been talking about the why, and we are about to begin talking about the how. How do I, as a child of the King, how do I, as God's son, how do I, as someone who has been called from darkness and into his light, someone who has as a charge on my life, as you do on yours, to be God's representatives wherever we go, how do I figure out, apart from our general call as believers to be disciples, to make disciples right where we are, what might that look like for me? And so over the next several weeks, we're going to begin to do some stuff that I believe might help us individually to have some practical understanding of some of the things that I can do as a believer in Jesus Christ to begin going about making sure that I have nailed down what my life as an individual believer ought to look like as I go about glorifying God in all that I do. But one of the things that has struck me is that we kind of live in a culture that is about doing. Can you agree with me on that? That really many of us are kind of anxious to get to the work. Is there anybody else in here who is like that? We can, as my wife says, we can talk folk to death. She says, you can sometimes, honey, boo, be all up here. And what I really want to know is, what do I need to do? And I get that, and I really do, because part of me is the same way. I want to know what to do. But if you have lived just a small length of time, is anybody in here 30 or above? Raise your hand. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Lord. Because I don't believe it takes that long. Although I do believe that when I was 30, I didn't know half as much as I thought I knew. But I believe if you've lived any length of time, you understand that we can make some very rash decisions. That we can, for the sake of seeming like we're doing something, rush in very quickly and find ourselves asking very soon, how did I get here? And I wish I had taken just a little more time to check that thing one more time or to read the fine print and what it was I was getting myself into, because now that I'm here. And so when we start talking about trying to discern what my individual, unique, and peculiar life as a believer is supposed to look like so that I can glorify God with every waking breath that I have, But I believe that it's appropriate for us to take as much time as we may need, because I don't want to make any more rash decisions in my life. Anybody else here with me? Y'all ain't got to be. I'll pray for you when you make them and help you out if I can. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I got some stuff that shows up on my earthly credit report. And I'm not talking about the one that you get from Equifax. I'm just talking about when I look back over my life and I think things over. That there's some things I'm so glad God is a gracious God for, because if I had that to do one more again, I wouldn't do it that way. It makes me mindful that when we read Scripture, we're not the only ones who have that kind of feeling. We're not the only ones who, in our capacity as men and women who believe that we are supposed to be the walking, talking, living, breathing representatives of God. We are the body of Christ here in the world. He who fills all in all, that I am his masterpiece, his workmanship, that he gave me some stuff that is uniquely mine to do. As we come to that point where we understand that, I can tell you, we ain't the first, neither will we be the last folk who think that way. See, when Jesus was here, Jesus walked with some people who also believed that I got some stuff that I'm supposed to do. When Jesus was here, he spent 3 years, his last 3 years, walking with and talking with and imparting into the lives of these men and women who were disciples. We know about the 12, but there were more. And all of these people were living in a time when they were wrestling, maybe not with the same particular things that we wrestle with in 2019, but they were wrestling with them some things. And can I tell you, they too were looking for deliverance. Wondering, God, when is it going to be time that you are going to rescue us? When is going to be the time, watch this, when you're going to fix the government? When is going to be the time when these leaders are going to get their feet off our necks? When is going to be the time, God, when I am going to see that me and the people like me are walking into the fullness of everything that you said about us? We ain't the only ones who are wondering, God, I get it in all this stuff that sounds real good, but God, I need to know, hear me, when is the action going to come? And so Jesus winds up in the Gospel of John having a conversation with these folk. And he says something to them that begins something like this. Listen, what I'm telling you to do is what I tell you to do. I need you to follow my commands. The stuff that you have heard from me, the things that you have heard me impart into you, the instruction and rule that you have seen that I have given to you and that I have walked out in front of you as we have walked here together, those are the things that I need you to do. But then in verse number 16 in John 14, he takes a turn. And this is where I want to go today. John 14, verse number 16. Verse 15, the one I just talked about, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then verse 16, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, the disciples were just like we can be. I am ready, God. I need to know, when is the action going to happen? Jesus, we done some stuff. I done watched you feed some folk, and I've watched you heal some people. And Jesus, you were even gracious enough to tell me and my boys to go out two by two, and you watched us come back with all these glorious stories about the stuff that we got to do in your name. That's what I want to be about. I want to be one who can say that you are using me, that I am being used by you, God. I want you to work and walk through me. Let people see your power working through me. But I believe that here Jesus is telling them then, and by extension us now, pump your brakes. You're moving too fast. Because, see, more important to me than me moving through you is me filling and being in you. See, anybody, you need to understand, I can use anything. Even these rocks can cry out. I can use a donkey to speak my words. It's nothing for me. The whole of creation glorifies my name. Everything, even the demons know who I am and they tremble. I'm not worried about that. But what I'm looking for is some folk that I can inhabit who will abide with me, so that when I'm working through them, it ain't like when I'm showing myself mighty through creation, when I'm showing myself mighty through the trees. But you need to understand, what I'm looking for is a body. Yeah. that I can inhabit and move through. And one of the dangers that we have to be cautious of whenever we start talking about how to get stuff done for God is that we don't just turn this into another self-help program. Where everybody start taking notes, writing down the five steps, and then you want to go about doing it your way. We want to assess and commit and organize. We want to get to doing what we're supposed to do. Stop for a minute and let me say this to you. God is primarily concerned with whether or not you have an intimate relationship with Him. I'm going to say it again because I don't believe half y'all got it. God is not as much concerned about what you do for Him as He is about whether you know Him. Amen. Stop. I still don't think a third of y'all got it. And I don't just mean know His name. I don't just mean know the icons or the lingo of the faith. What Jesus wants to know, what God the Father wants to know, is what did you do when you heard the name of my son? Did your heart break and open up and say, inhabit me and live in me? I don't just want your works, I want your presence. Yes. So Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. And I need you to know, and I'm going to tell the Father, I'm going to ask Him, and He's going to send you another helper. He's going to send you this Spirit of truth. I need you to understand, them folk ain't going to understand because they don't know Him. What they understand are works. And greater works than those you saw me do will you do. But because you are my body, you'll understand differently. See, you don't want to be one of those people in Acts who saw the apostles going about doing the works of God and say, how much can I pay to get that? I want your presence. So then Jesus is crucified, dies, and is buried. On the third day, He rises from the grave. With all power, He says in Matthew. And He grants all authority to the church in a time coming. And He starts walking through walls and amazing folk and showing Himself to more than 500 disciples. He starts sitting down and He walks with folk on the Emmaus Road, and He sits down while they cooking fish and starts having conversations. And some folk recognize Him and some folk don't get it until He's gone. But Jesus does all of this because He needs them to still understand, what I ever wanted was that I would be with you, because if I'm with you, then you've got my presence and my power. You don't want my power absent my presence. Please understand this. Why am I saying all of this? Because when we make this shift, there will be some folk who will just start going about the motions of trying to discover what they are supposed to do personally without understanding that you can't do none of that absent His presence. If you are not working on being a disciple, being the vessel that God by His Spirit inhabits, all the rest is for naught. So Jesus finds His disciples a bit later. And I want you to see that. Look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. They've got verses 4 through 8, but I'm going to start at verse 1 because I want you to see this. I love this big Bible now, y'all, by the way. It says, in the first book, O Theophilus, the first book being Luke, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up, after He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Stop. He said to them, in essence, I know y'all excited about what's about to happen because now y'all believe this joint for real. I know that there were some of you, maybe your name is Thomas, but I know that there were some of you who probably did not believe that what I said was going to happen was going to happen. That's why I found y'all all scared in a room about what were the Romans going to do to you next. And then I walked through and showed you that I am who I said I am. And so now I know y'all are excited. Stop for a minute. I think about the first time you really saw God work. When all of a sudden you knew he was not just some name somebody preached about on Sunday morning, but you came into direct revelation of the absolute power of God Almighty, and all of a sudden you were saying to yourself, oh, I got him on my side. And all of a sudden in that moment, you're ready to go out and start doing anything and everything. That's them. What? Jesus is risen from the grave. We finna do this thing now. And he tells them, don't do nothing, but wait. Because see, all the stuff you did while I was here, you did because I was here. You had my presence with you. But I don't want you to go from here thinking that all you need to know is that I have risen, because the power is not simply because you know me, but because I am with you. And so what I need you to understand is it ain't just my name, it's my presence, because I am with you. And you can know my name, but if you don't know me intimately enough that I am with you, then what do you have? So wait. That's the word right there, wait. Wait. So y'all, when we make this shift and start talking about, okay, so it can look like this, and you talk to these kind of folk and you start writing down these kind of things, wait. Because the first thing you have to ask yourself is, do I have him with me? Verse 4. He says to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him. Look at this. See, this is how our minds work, because we are so enamored with the works of God. That even after he said all of that, even after he told them in John, listen, if you love me, do my commandments, I'm going to talk to my daddy, I'm going to ask him to send you a helper, he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. Then he sees them after his ascension, after he's shown himself mighty to them again, and then he says to them, don't do nothing. In fact, don't leave Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, but you're about to be baptized with something far greater. You're going to be baptized with the presence of God himself. Look at verse number 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I don't know if you've ever had somebody ask you a question that you kind of already answered, and they ask it anyway. Like you say something like, listen, hold on, and I'm telling you, dinner gonna come, and when dinner comes, y'all all gonna be satisfied. And then somebody says to you, so is it time to eat? And you want to look at them like, you ain't hear nothing I just said, did you? You don't believe what I said. So Jesus says to them, listen, don't go nowhere. Don't do nothing. In a few days, you about to get your socks blessed off. Griffin paraphrase. And the next thing they say is, so we finna get them now? Right? Is this the time when we about to show these Romans what's up? Is this the time when we about to ride in mighty and get them back for all the stuff that they were doing? Now, you remember all that trash, Pilate and Caiaphas and all of them were talking just a few days. Are we really? Is this the time? And so Jesus responds, you know what? Jesus has got to be the coolest brother ever to live. Amen. Amen. There is a Jesus kind of swag, right? Watch Jesus. Because, can I just be honest with you? I'm not Jesus cool. I'm just not. I can see myself responding differently. So I'm going to give you the dramatic interpretation of Jesus' words. It says in verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power not a few days from now when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, Griffin would have said it different, because I would have said, you got to have that peace in it, because that shows the exasperation, right? I'm going to say, probably roll my eyes, something like, I'm trying to live my best life. I'm not going back and forth with you Christians. It ain't time for you, yeah, is the way I'd have said it, yeah, to know what's up. In fact, why are you asking me? Watch this. Do what I tell. Didn't I just tell you in John, if you love me, do what I said? Stop asking me questions. Yeah. Matter of fact, the next person to ask me a question, you ain't getting dinner. How about that? Right? Ain't y'all glad I ain't Jesus? Come on, clap your hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch this. But I got to represent him, so he's working on me. Yes. Right? We're all maturing. So watch. Because I haven't even gotten to point number one yet. He says to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let's get into it, and we're going to move very quickly from this point. Why do I say all of that? I say that for this reason. To discover our personal calling, we need the Spirit of God to lead us. Amen. So all of this stuff that we've been talking about, if I want to discover truly, I know what my corporate call is. I'm supposed to be a disciple. That's my B. I know what my corporate do is. I'm supposed to make disciples. That's my do. I know what my corporate go is. Wherever I am, I'm supposed to be and do those two things. But what does that translate into in my life? I only understand and discern that by the presence indwelling of the Spirit of God. Now I hope you understand why we're taking the time we're taking. Because if you don't have his presence, you're going to miss his message. And this is not so much about you assessing who you are so you can know where you're supposed to go, as it is listening and waiting for the Spirit of God to do what it is he said he's supposed to do. This is about listening and learning. First point, and I'm almost out your hair. We receive clarity on our calling from the Holy Spirit. We do. I can say a whole lot of stuff about me, but I need the Holy Spirit so that he allows me the clarity. Why? Because he knows me intimately. He's the one that Jesus himself said, I am going to ask the Father, and he is going to send you another helper, the Spirit of Truth. The world does not understand this, so they will not have the capacity to be as locked in and honed in on who it is they are supposed to be individually, recognizing their unique set of skills, gifts, talents that I have given them, and how they are to be used and where they are to go. You're going to make some moves that they cannot make because you are connected to me. You don't just know me, but I am with you and I know you intimately. How? Because the Spirit of God is God. He created us. The Spirit of God is God. The gifts we have because he gave them to us. So who better as my lead and my guide to get me to where I am supposed to be but God by his Spirit? We receive clarity on our calling from the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? It means we need to watch and listen to the Holy Spirit. What's that look like? I'm glad you asked. It really does look a lot like being still. Show of hands, how many people in here have a hard time being still? Right? Our culture does not laud being still. In fact, many of us have been brought up in situations where being still, stuff like Sabbath, stuff like resting, can be looked at as being lazy. Right? Why are you just sitting around? Go read a book. I am being still. How can I hear from God if I am continually busying myself, watch this, with stuff that I say is for God? How you gonna tell me that's for me and you ain't heard from me because every time I tried to talk to you, I was running behind you while you were trying to do something that you said was for me. So every now and again, and we teach this to couples when we are doing their premarital development. We're talking about communication. We talk about communication being something that is a two-way street. Communication effectively is dialogue and not monologue. Meaning, we both can't talk at the same time, and you can't be the only one talking. And so what we tell them to do is what we call active listening. Meaning that I am going to say something to you, and then I need you to tell me what you heard me say. Why? Because I know you got to be still to do that. You can't be thinking about what you're going to respond and tell me what I said. And most of us are so in love with our own voices and trying to do things that we miss hearing from God. So what does watching and looking look like? It looks like having intentional time built into every day that the Lord sends you where you stop. Turn the radio off. I don't care if it is 30 seconds when you start. You need a moment when you say, God, I am not saying a word. Speak to me. The children of Israel did not move until the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night moved. They did not move unless God moves. Why? Because they wanted to be where God was going. And too often, because we are so enamored with the look of doing things for God rather than having his presence and his leadership, that we go in front of God, and every now and again we get ourselves out somewhere and we see God is over there, but I was here because we didn't take the time to listen. And so we've got to begin to build in. So remember, doing the work of God is the fruit of having the presence of God. And so the thing that God wants me to work on more than anything else is ensuring that I have his presence with me. Because if I have his presence with me, I can do whatsoever it is he asks me to do, whensoever he may. But sometimes we get out there and all of a sudden it's like God says, do X. And we like, but wait, where are you at? Yeah, right. When was the last time you listened to me? And I'm not talking about prayer as the discipline where you talk to God. I'm talking about prayer as the discipline where you hear from God. Wait a minute. We often don't talk about that kind of prayer. It's called contemplative prayer, where we contemplate the things of God, or in some disciplines, it's called meditation, where I want to hear from you, whether it's through your word or through your creation or through the deeds and acts, but I need to still myself. The Bible says, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. We too quick to do it the way we want to do it. Last point, and I'm out your face. This is difficult for us. Obedience to his being the Holy Spirit, obedience to his prompting is our only responsibility. Remember, if you love me, obey my commandments. I'm going to ask the Father to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. He's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. I am going to be in you. And all I'm asking you to do is to obey me. Obedience is our only responsibility. Guess what? Defining and ensuring success is not my responsibility. In fact, we don't know what success looks like. Why? Because success belongs to God. You are not responsible for success. God is. Because in your mind, success may look like, I've been spending all this time with this person and I've been giving them my entire life and they ain't come to church one time. You define a success. I've been sharing the glory of God with them, and I've been walking them down the Romans road, and they still have not yielded their life to Jesus Christ. You are defining success. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. For all you know, you are the planter. And in another season, somebody else going to come along, and they're going to be the waterer. And watch this, and then somebody going to come then right behind all of y'all and say, will you come to church? And they're going to say, yes, I'd love to. They're going to come to church one time with that person 5 years from now and walk down the aisle, and that person going to be like, look at God. And you're saying to yourself, I wonder what happened to, we don't get to define success. God defines success. Success for us in the eyes of God, hear me, do what I asked you to do. If you did what I asked you to do, if you're walking by the rock and I tell you pick the rock up, take 10 steps and put it down, if you pick the rock up, take it 10 steps and put it down and walk away, you have been successful. And you walk away saying, Lord, I have no idea why I took that rock 10 steps and put it down. You don't need to. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. It's not for you to know the times and the epochs, the ages that have been set by the Father. Here's what you need to know. In a few days, I'm going to give you what I told you was coming. And then I need you to be obedient. You need to be my witnesses. And whatever witnessing looks like in that moment, that's all you need to worry about. Last Sunday, I was driving to church and I saw one of our members as we were stopped at a light. And there's a homeless guy at this light every day. And this member honked the horn, and the guy ran over to the window, and she handed him some money. Watch this. She was being obedient. She didn't have to know what he was going to do with it. You know, sometimes we like, oh, you just going to use that for drugs. I get stop. All right. If the Holy Spirit prompted you in that moment to do that, obedience is how you define success. Now watch what happened. As soon as she did that, the car behind me honked the horn. And he ran to that car. Now he didn't been blessed doubly. Because one person did what they were prompted to do. The light turned green and the member drove away. Too often we circumvent the success that God has for us in any given moment because we have not cultivated our intimate relationship with Him by understanding how to develop the skill of listening to the Holy Spirit. And so when He speaks, we shrug Him off as though He is some foreign entity speaking to us. Your responsibility begins and ends with being obedient to the call of God through the Holy Spirit. I'm done. Let me give you these takeaways. How do we start? To discover your personal calling, we need the Spirit of God to lead us. Y'all, we need the Spirit of the indwelling power and presence of God that is His Holy Spirit to lead us. Point one, today we receive clarity on our calling from the Holy Spirit. Point two, we need to watch and listen to the Holy Spirit. Point three, obedience to His prompting is our only responsibility. Got one call to action this week. And that call to action is simply this. I want you to pray this week. Doesn't matter when you pray, there won't be a prayer call this week. I don't care when you pray, but take some time this week to do two things. I'm adding one now. But here's what I want you to do. Commit to wait patiently before leaping into action. We love to plan. My family is planning some stuff right now. And can I tell you, the hardest thing in the world is not just because you can see it. The hardest thing in the world is not to just jump and start doing what you see as you see it. And I had to say to them last night, I'm not doing that again. We're going to take all the time it takes to hear and prepare and then move. And when the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire, when we get the prompting by God that it's time to move, we'll move. Let's pray. Father, we're all works in progress. Doesn't mean we're immature. It doesn't mean we're as mature as we think we are. It simply means that wherever we find ourselves, we can do more. We can do better. We can commit more, we can yield more, we can submit more, we can be more obedient, we can love more, we can give more, we can care more. We can do more. Father, it's a difficult thing. We live in Western culture and we live in what many in this particular culture think is the best place in the world. But it's a place driven by activity. It's a place driven by getting and doing and being seen as doing. It's an achievement-based culture. And so, Lord, the church has taken on much of that, and we want to achieve and to do for You. But, Lord, we understand that if we go back to Genesis, it was about Your presence. The most grievous thing that that first man and woman understood is that they had lost Your presence with them. Israel said through the voice of Moses, if You won't go with us, don't send us. We can't go without You. And yet so often we as 21st century believers put Your name on it but have Your presence far from it. God, we repent if that has been the story of this week, this day, or our lives. We want Your presence. The one You promised who is Your Holy Spirit, we want His presence. We want to know Your voice intimately through Him, that He can lead us to understand how we've been fearfully and wonderfully made, that He can allow us to see and redefine what success looks like, that we can understand that for us it is simply about being with you, having you with us, and then obeying what we hear you say. And that we leave the rest to you and go about gloriously as Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch, knowing I've done what I was supposed to do. Somebody else, another part, another member of the body is going to come along and do what they ought to do. I took the rock 10 paces. They'll take the rock as far as you tell them to. So, Lord, this week, help us to commit to waiting patiently. Just like Jesus told those disciples to wait, help us to wait patiently. Not to receive the Holy Spirit, for if we are believers, we have him indwelling as a seal and a pledge of the promises you've made to us. But have us wait patiently, Lord, for his prompting. Have us wait patiently, Lord, to hear his voice and to follow his lead. This is our prayer in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. We say, amen. Stand on your feet with me, if you will, please. Just a few more moments, but I definitely don't want to leave just in case the Lord is moving on someone's heart here this morning and you've been prompted by the Spirit of God to respond to what will be one of these invitations. The first invitation, as it usually is an invitation to become a believer in Jesus Christ, to become a candidate for baptism, to yield your life, however your life may be right now, to yield your life to Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord. And I'm gonna be honest, those two things don't always happen at the same time. There are often times when we give our lives to Jesus Christ as Savior because we've heard about what it means to be eternally separated from God, and no one wants that. And so we rush down an aisle at a church and we yield ourselves to him because we want the eternal security that comes from being a believer in Jesus Christ. And that's fine. But he doesn't just want to be our Savior. He also wants to ensure that we have life and have that life to the full. And that only comes by allowing him to be our Lord, to give him complete and full control over our entire lives. How does that happen? By the Holy Spirit. In the moment we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit as a seal and as a pledge, a guarantee, the promises that God has made, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that our home then, as our souls have been saved, are with him. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never said, I yield, what must I do to be saved? If you've never said, I do want to turn my life around and give it to Jesus Christ, I want to be baptized, we extend to you an invitation today. Just walk out of whatever row you're standing in and come stand down here at the altar so that we can pray for you, so we can love on you, we can hug you. Second invitation. And the second invitation is for folk who have made that first step. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And maybe you've even accepted him as Lord, but you find that right now you are living life on your own terms, which in essence means that he may not be Lord of all of your life in this moment. But you want to change that today. You want to say, you know what? I reaffirm that I belong to Jesus. For him I'll live and for him I will die. You want to rededicate yourself to him, that I am going to live for him according to what he desires for my life. If that's you, we also extend to you an invitation to walk out from where you are. Come stand here at the altar that we may pray for you. And then the last invitation is real simple. If you're an already baptized believer in Jesus Christ who is looking for a church home, you're living a full and rich relationship with him as both Savior and Lord, but you just need a place that you can say, that's my church home. Come to the altar. If you believe that God is sending you to harvest to make this your church home, come. Three invitations. Give your life to the Lord, rededicate your life to him, or come as an already baptized believer who's simply looking for a church home. If any of those fit you, come. All right, y'all, clap your hands, if you will, in here this evening. Morning. Amen. Afternoon. Stay standing. We're going to have our benediction and go down from this place. Let's look to the Lord. Father, give us, we pray, what we've asked today, the capacity to wait patiently, the desire to know you intimately, the understanding that we can do nothing without your presence. We love you and are grateful for opportunities we have day after day to change, because you change us and become more like you because you love us. And now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Let everybody say amen, 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 and amen.